Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 35 of Real Estate Investing in New York with me, Christina Kramitas. And in this episode, we are going over the attorney due diligence process and what happens after you get an accepted offer on a property. So stay tuned, we're covering everything here. So we got an accepted offer. Now what? Whether you're a seller or a buyer, everybody wants to know what happens after you've successfully come to a meeting of the minds between both parties in a real estate transaction. This is where due diligence begins and your attorney gets involved. You may not like to hear this, but the fact is that after you get a meeting of the minds, you're still months away from a closing date. If you're negotiating on a condo, and that's the property type you've chosen to pursue, you are about 2.5 months, give or take, away from a closing date. And if you are negotiating on a co-op, and if you have secured an accepted offer on a co-op, you're more than 3 months away, most likely, from a closing date. So keep in mind, timing is always longer than you would assume in New York real estate transactions. And that's because there's a lot of moving pieces. And it's also part of why the due diligence process, which is the portion of the remaining steps that we're going to be covering today, takes a decent amount of time because there's a lot to review in these New York City buildings before you can feel comfortable proceeding with a purchase in one of them. So your attorney will get looped into the due diligence process, and this will take 1 to 2 weeks for the attorney to complete their job for you and for you to finally be told that you are safe to go ahead and sign your contract. So in this episode, I will be telling you everything that occurs in those 2 weeks, which we call due diligence. This is a very interesting part of the process for many buyers and sellers because you actually learn a lot about the building and the apartment in the process. So it's definitely more interesting if you're a buyer because this is a place that you're going to be buying into and you get to really get intimate with the building during this time. But I have also had sellers that were also very pleased to find certain things about the building during this due diligence phase. So it really is interesting for anyone involved. And this is where you get a lot of your questions answered. So very often when I'm working with buyers for a purchase, they will ask certain questions while we're in the process of placing our initial offer, or while we are just kind of seeing if this apartment or this building is a place that they could picture themselves. And those questions tend to be, how much is the maintenance going to be in a couple of years? Does this building raise maintenance regularly? Like, what have the recent maintenance increases been year over year in this building? Questions also include, have there been any noise complaints, let's say, with the neighbors? Like, what is it like to live in this building? This is all stuff that we learn during the due diligence period. So once you come to a meeting of the minds, which means that the seller has agreed to accept the buyer's offer, and that might have happened after several rounds of negotiation or maybe just one, you finally have an agreement with the seller, and now the deal information is distributed to your attorney. So your attorney receives what we call a deal sheet or a transaction sheet, which outlines the parties involved in the transaction, the subject premises, as well as all of the details about the transaction. So the price of the sale, any inclusions or exclusions that we are going to be including with the sale of the property, and any notes or important things or nuances about timing or anything that has been negotiated on and agreed to between the seller and the buyer thus far. All of this information is sent to the attorneys, and the attorney gets working. So the seller has an attorney and the buyer has an attorney. And the buyer's attorney is really the one doing a majority of the work during this process. The seller's attorney will draft the first version of the contract. It's usually mostly standard form, updated with the nuances that might be present in our particular transaction. And the attorney, the seller's attorney, will distribute the contract to the buyer's attorney. The buyer's attorney spends about a week going back and forth with the seller's attorney, aligning on contractual details. So this is where the buyer's attorney will build in all of the necessary protections that they want their buyer to have. So for example, if a buyer is getting financing or needs to secure a mortgage in order to complete this purchase, this is where the buyer's attorney is going to make sure that they add in a mortgage contingency for you, meaning that if you for some reason can't get your mortgage, you are able to get out of this deal without losing your contract deposit. So there's different things that get built into the contract for the buyer. Another example is deadlines. So maybe the seller's attorney drafted the initial contract, and of course, maybe the seller wants the deal to move very quickly. We want the buyer to be able to get their financing really quickly, submit their board package really quickly, and have everything very rushed so that we can close and secure a sale as soon as possible. A buyer's attorney's job is to protect the buyer and not have them fall into a breach of contract for going overtime on things. So a buyer's attorney might actually build in longer deadlines for these things to be done. So maybe they'll give the buyer more time to obtain their mortgage commitment letter. They'll give the buyer more time to complete their board package and various things like this to make sure that both attorneys are representing their own respective clients and both sides will have the opportunity to get the contract into a place where they're comfortable. Sometimes there are roadblocks and a buyer's attorney and seller's attorney have a hard time agreeing on certain details. This can vary with each transaction, but it usually occurs when there's a specific request of the buyer or a specific request of the seller that isn't totally boilerplate. And they have to then negotiate to try to see what they're going to do about it and how they're going to agree on it. These things come up, but usually they're not blockers to the attorneys being able to finally align and get the contract in a good place. Again, this usually takes about a week. The bulk of the work that the buyer's attorney is doing during this part of the process is actually due diligence on the building itself. So this is where we're getting all of our questions answered about how smoothly does this building run? Does this building run well financially? Are they in the green? Are they in the red? These are all very important questions that we have when we are representing a buyer during the purchase process, and this all will come out during the due diligence process. So if you are a seller in the transaction, be prepared for the buyer's attorney to request these due diligence documents from you. You should have a good amount of them on hand, but if you don't, then we often need to go to management to actually purchase these documents. So it is a good side note that as you receive these documents that come out usually annually from your building, it's a good idea to save any documents that you have so that when you do decide to sell, you don't have to buy all of them at that time. But that's just a side note. So some of the documents that the buyer's attorney will look for when they are about to formulate their opinion on whether or not the building is a sound investment is they will look at the building financials, they'll look at the building's offering plan, they'll look at the proprietary lease, they'll ask very specific questions to management, and they'll also review all of the recent meetings that the building held where we can identify any issues that may have happened in the building. There are five important documents that a buyer's attorney will always look at when determining for the buyer whether or not the building is a sound investment. The first important document is the offering plan. This is present whether you are buying a condo or a co-op property type. And this is a legal document that outlines the building project. It's kind of like a prospectus for an IPO. There are key pieces of information in the offering plan, like property tax information, floor plans that are available in the building, certain rules, certain regulations, and certain restrictions if the building has any. The second document is a proprietary lease. This is only present if you are purchasing a co-op, and this document outlines the agreement between the corporation and the shareholder that is buying shares within the building. The proprietary lease also gives permission to the shareholder that is buying the shares to actually be able to occupy that space. The next important document are the financials. Usually the buyer's attorney will request the two most recent years of audited financials for the building. This will allow the attorney to see how much money is in the reserve fund. The reserve fund is the bank account that the building uses for a rainy day. So if there is ever anything that comes up that goes wrong or something that the building needs to spend money on, whether it be a maintenance idea like renovating the hallways, or if there was something that broke in the building that needs to be repaired, the building needs a cash reserve fund to lean on in the event of these various things that might come up across the time of your ownership. So it is important for your attorney to see that there is a decent amount of money in the reserve fund, and the amount of money that they want to see present usually ranges based on the size of the building and the type of apartment that you're buying. So there really is not like a baseline for that, but the attorney will be able to let you know if they're comfortable with the amount of money that's present in the reserve fund. They'll also look to see if the building is running in the green or in the red. So sometimes buildings are actually running with more expenses than they're making in income. This can sometimes end up being a long-term issue for the building if they're losing more money than they're bringing in, because of course that is going to start cutting into your reserve fund as well and cause down the road the chance of assessments, which is when a owner in the building needs to pay a greater amount on top of their regular monthly common charges to support the building. So if there's not enough savings and if the building doesn't have enough income coming in, if there is a repair that needs to be made, the building will need to have a special assessment among the unit owners, and everyone needs to essentially contribute to that repair to be made. Number three are the rules of the building. It will be very important for your attorney to understand the regulations within the building, the house rules, the bylaws, and especially the sublet policy, so that they can be alerted to any policies that might be very restrictive or unusual. Most buildings have very standard policies and rules, but sometimes there is very unique things about a building that might actually be a red flag in terms of it might affect the quality of life that you might have in the building. So they tend to range. Co-op house rules and bylaws tend to be more strict than condo house rules and bylaws. And co-op bylaws tend to say more specific things about how your life actually will go in the unit. They'll restrict subletting, and they might even, I've seen co-op bylaws that actually state that there are certain things that you cannot do in your apartment. There are certain times of the day that you cannot make noise in your apartment. I've seen bylaws that have special rules for children, which is actually something that's not great, but it happens. So you do want to make sure that you know the kind of building that you're getting into when you are working through the due diligence. Fourth are the meeting minutes. This is the notes that are taken down from the board meetings that have transpired in recent years. Usually the attorney will go back 3 years or 5 years when looking at these meeting notes. And this is really where we'll see if there were any ongoing building issues that happened, complaints sent into management that needed to be addressed in board meetings, potential upcoming assessments, big work projects that are planned that they are deciding on and planning with the board, with the executive board. There are various things that you'll see in meeting notes that will give you a good clue into what your life is going to be like in the building in the upcoming years. And finally, the buyer's attorney will send a thorough questionnaire to the management company asking all of their remaining outstanding questions. These questions tend to include asking, what is the number of units in the building that are being sublet, or the percentage of apartments in the building that are currently being sublet? this affects how easily the building can get financing, for example. The attorney will ask about assessments, if there are any upcoming assessments plans. They'll ask for the building to quote the most recent maintenance increases that have happened over the most recent years. And this questionnaire also will ask management if there's any history of complaints in the building. This can range anywhere from neighbors not getting along, noise complaints, vermin, mold, leaks, any type of building nuisance or issue that may have come up in the past few years is asked very specifically on this questionnaire. And the building, the management company, has to answer the questionnaire honestly and truthfully. So this is where you're really going to see if there are any red flags in the building. This is where you will find it. There, of course, is a lot more that your attorney is doing on the back end, but these are the most important pieces of the due diligence process. And this is really where we are able to decide if the building is a good idea to buy into. And in an upcoming episode, I'm going to have an attorney on with me as a guest to answer any specific questions that you have and to give a little bit more detail on the importance of this process. So definitely stay tuned for that. And as always, if you have any questions coming out of this episode, please do not hesitate to ask them. You can always email me at christina.cremitas@elliman.com. I love to receive your questions and your thoughts coming out of these episodes, and they also help me to frame future episodes. If you're watching on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can get all of our future episodes. And if you are tuning in on the podcast, thank you so much. Please share with a friend so that we can spread this very useful information with more people. And stay tuned for next week's episode, where I will be sharing the characteristics that I most often notice in my most successful high net worth individual clients. As always, thank you so much for being here, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.